I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fam. We got some breaking news. We got the Commanders have announced training camp dates when fans can go. We're going to get into all that, tell you the best times to go, what you should try to hit. Before we go there, though, our friend Mr. Neil Greenberg. Greenberg, appreciate you making time for us on a week where nobody has any time for us. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I always have time for you and my podcast.
This is now the Neil Greenberg podcast via the B. Mitchell Finley program for the next half hour. What's up, man? What are you... You are an interesting cat. Your brain always goes different places. What are you working on right now?
I am working on NFL alt win totals.
I love that.
All right.
I mean, speak my language. Gambling, football.
What's the number for the NFC East? You got to that yet?
I bet a couple of alt totals this morning. I bet the Steelers under 8.5 at +100. I bet the Vikings under 8.5.
Let's start there. Steelers under 8.5.
Yeah.
You're not buying what they're selling up there, huh?
No, I'm not. I think this is it. I think we know what Aaron Rodgers is at this point, and that's a declining quarterback. I think the Steelers have done a lot with a little. I think Mike Tomlin has had an extraordinary run. I'm not buying into it, especially not at plus money. So I think that the Steelers are going to be under 500, and I want to put my money where my mouth is.
Did we lose Neil?
No.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Sorry, dude. That would be the first time ever for Tomlin to go under 500. I tell you what's crazy, though, B. Yesterday we had our friend Alan Saunders on that covers the Steelers, and he sounded like sort of optimistic but also sort of confused by like a very un-Pittsburghian offseason. If you want to listen to that interview with Alan, check it out wherever you get podcasts, Spotify or whatever.
What I heard from Alan yesterday, Alan knows there's going to be some issues, but Alan was trying to be positive. That's what I heard from Alan yesterday.
Yeah. But, dude, so Greenberg, B and I were in Erie freaking Pennsylvania for a couple days.
And I think that's a road trip movie waiting to happen.
Nah, it won't be happening in Erie.
Nah, man. That's my first and only trip to Erie. It could happen in Erie
at this time of the year, but it will never happen anywhere at the end of September on.
Nah. I left hand up. I don't think I'm ever going back to Erie, period. but we were in Steelers country. A lot of folks up there seem frustrated with Mike Tomlin, which I get it. Bobby Bowden got fired. Like, you know, people get fired eventually, but Tomlin's a G as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here's a little peek behind the curtain, another story I'm working on. I'm working on coaches on the hot seat, and I have Tomlin on the hottest seat of 2025.
Really?
I think he's the most likely coach to get fired. Yeah.
So they bring in Aaron Rodgers knowing he's going to screw things up so they can have a reason to fire him?
I think it's more like a Hail Mary. Like, this is our chance to actually, you know, this is our best chance to win a playoff game. It's not that Tomlin has a poor-ish regular season. It's just they haven't won a playoff game since, what, 2016, 2017? Wild card flame outs if they make the playoffs at all. I think at some point you have to pull the plug on that. Being over 500 is okay, but let's face it. I mean, you're not going to be taken seriously in the NFL landscape if you're not going to be a playoff threat. And I think that this is just a Hail Mary type thing. You get a guy like Rodgers in. There's a lot of good feelings about the trades that they made, getting Jalen Ramsey and Jono Smith, but I just think that this is the end of the line, and I'm always willing to zag when other people are zigging.
Hey, man, me and you both. Jeff had the ultimate zig yesterday. He thinks A.J. Johnson of the Wizards is going to be a Supermax player. All right, so let's keep this going. We're talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Yeah. Fair counter.
Nobody else knows who he is.
Rood makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Of course, you can read all of Greenberg's work at the Washington Post. Listen to his podcast right here on B. Mitch and Finley every Wednesday at 11. All right. So you're fading the Steelers. Who's the next fade?
Vikings under 8.5 plus 140.
Why? I like JJ.
I'm not a big believer in the Vikings. I think they've gotten very fortunate over the past couple of years. They're in a really tough division with Detroit, Green Bay, Chicago will be better. I just think that, you know, you look at Minnesota and they're not a 14-win team. I mean, I know they won 14 games, but they're
with
just not. Yeah, they're just not a. They don't worry me. And like I said, a better division, a little bit less fortunate bounces. I think it's a great price for them to be under 8.5 plus 140. I'm more than willing to take that risk reward proposition.
You don't buy that the defense could stay really good?
I'm not necessarily worried about the defense. I'm worried about the division. I'm worried about, you know, how are they going to keep pace in a division that one of the teams got a lot better. Another team, you know, was a Super Bowl contender. And then I think Green Bay gets a little bit better with Jordan Love getting an extra year of work. So I just think it's going to be tougher for them to excel being in that division.
And we look at JJ, you like JJ, I like JJ, but still it's going to be his first time going out there really playing football for a whole year in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he's going to be basically having his rookie season this year.
And they got some tough games, you know, outside of the division. They got to play Philadelphia. They got to play Baltimore. They got to play the Commanders. I mean, you know, those aren't give-me's. You know, the Commanders aren't a give-me anymore. Philadelphia obviously is very good, and Baltimore is very good. So when you look at the division and just those three games in general, you know, that's a tough slate of games to have to deal with. I think that it's okay to be pessimistic with Minnesota.
Interesting. All right, you got any overs? Any overs?
I do.
Okay.
Just one. Giants over 5.5 at plus 118. I think this is strictly the NFL has parity. I think that the Giants, the worst teams in football really shouldn't lose more than like four games, maybe five games. So you only really just need like one weird game for them to swing it to this bet's favor. I know a lot of people are down on them. I know that they're not a very good football team. But even non-good football teams tend to win four or five games. And I think the Giants could be one of those. At least I'm willing to take some plus money to worry about it.
Okay.
Where are the Commanders sitting?
I look for value on the Commanders, and I just couldn't find value. I'm not saying that they're not going to be
I'm trying to make money, right?
Yeah. But I have Washington, you know, probably winning 9 or 10 games next year. And we've talked about this before. You know, I think a 10-win season against the schedule that they have would be an improvement over last year. I know it's not going to be an improvement in the win column, but I think overall as a team, if they can win 10 games against this schedule, I think that is a step forward based on what they did last year.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the Rood Guest Hotline. When do you start looking at like fantasy numbers and player props for the seasons and everything?
Yeah, I'm looking at those now, actually. I'm starting to get my fantasy stuff together. If you look right now, wide receivers are very, very popular in the first round of point per reception leagues. There could be as many as five or six going in the first round alone. I think that that's bold. I think that that's aggressive. The drop-off in running backs is tremendous in terms of, you know, who you can rely on to get the ball and be a part of the offense. And then once you get past those, going into the committee roles and touchdown vultures and things like that. So I personally think guys like Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs are the plays. I'm down on Saquon Barkley. I'm down on Christian McCaffrey. I'm down on Derrick Henry. But I think that you're better off going for some running backs early and then supplementing with some wide receivers later.
Mm. Where are you with the Niners in general?
I have the Niners as having the best chance to go from worst to first in their division. I don't think that that's necessarily a secret. I like them as a whole. I am worried that McCaffrey, how healthy is McCaffrey going to be? And that's another division that had a lot of parity last year, right? 10 wins won the division. San Francisco had 6 wins with a lot of injury concerns. So I think if they're healthy, they're going to be fine. That's a big if, though. I mean, Christian McCaffrey has shown that he can miss some time, and then the offense just kind of seems to fall apart there. So I think that San Francisco should be considered a divisional winning threat. I mean, that's certainly the case. I don't think that they're going to be a Super Bowl contender like most people, including my in-laws who are from the Bay Area. And if they're listening, I'm going to be in some trouble. But I think that San Francisco is a playoff contender, and we'll have to see how their health is before I can pencil them in
any
further.
How much longer does their window stay open, though?
That's a good question. I think only a year, maybe two, right? Because, you know, kind of just talked about it. If McCaffrey is brittle, and if the offense suffers more because of no Deebo Samuel, and if Brock Purdy takes any sort of step back, like, those are three huge elements, three huge dominoes that can really hurt the offense. And then you're relying a lot on the defense, but we know in today's NFL, offense carries a lot of the freight. So I think those are three significant touchstones that they're going to have to navigate in order to remain competitive, not only in the division, but, you know, in the league at large.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Of course, you can follow Greenberg at N Greenberg and read his work in the Washington Post. Can we switch to baseball real quick?
Sure.
Tigers are in town. The Nats are just falling apart, frankly. The Tigers are awesome. And that kid, Scooble, they have is awesome. I assume he is very much the front runner for the Cy Young in the AL. Is it too much to say he's the best pitcher in the majors, even knowing Paul Skenes is out there and others?
I think you can make a case for it. I certainly think that he is going to be the Cy Young. I mean, he's certainly the Cy Young favorite right now. He's just really good. I mean, you know, kind of flashes of Greg Maddux there. He's just, just dominating in terms of wins above replacement, not just among pitchers, but like on the overall depth chart in terms of, you know, most valuable players. He's fourth behind Judge, Raleigh, and Otani in that regard. Anytime you have a pitcher that's kind of in the MVP conversation, you know, you got to take notice. I think that he's probably the best pitcher in the majors right now, certainly in the American League. And, Skenes is kind of in a three-way race, I think, with Logan Webb and Zach Wheeler for best pitcher in the NL. I don't think the second-year guy in Pittsburgh is a lock for the Cy Young in the NL either. I think you got to give it to Scooble.
And then I wanted to ask, the Mets – I take great pleasure in the Mets falling apart, largely because I have so many Mets fan friends. The Mets are kind of falling apart. 3-7 in their last 10. Get us up to speed.
I don't think Maybe yeah, I don't think falling apart's the right term. They're just imploding into a dumpster fire on the Hindenburg. I mean, they are.
Damn.
I mean, it's bad. I mean, they're just getting destroyed, right? I mean, the last three games,
they just got swept
Pittsburgh,
by the Pirates.
But not only swept, I mean, they were decimated. They couldn't get any offense going. You know, there's a lot of worries about Soto, but that worry obviously was misplaced. You got to worry about everything else. You know, and I liken this to kind of the Braves of the 90s, you know, and how that pitching rotation was structured. You know, it was structured in a way that you didn't have those type of stretches, right? Like, they didn't lose many series. They certainly didn't have many back-to-back losing games with the trio of Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavine. You know, the Mets don't have that. They're built largely on offense. They have a decent rotation, but, you know, certainly not a powerhouse rotation by any stretch. And if the offense goes cold, like, they have nothing to back it up. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a dismal since, what, the middle of June. Like, the Mets have just been absolutely awful. And, you know, these games count. They're two games behind Philadelphia right now. They could be in a lot of trouble if they don't figure it out very soon. But so far, they have looked just absolutely terrible.
It's White Brian over there crying now.
White Brian just texted us. They were outscored 20-4.
Isn't that your team, Brian?
A three-game series.
That's your team, right?
Yeah. I'd rather you like mishandle my walk-up song than keep repeating that stat.
Are the Cubs for real?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're seeing a lot of real teams. I mean, obviously Detroit, Chicago Cubs. I mean, there's no real division races right now, right? The only division races are in the
AL East, is kind of there.
East and maybe the Central, right? But the rest of them are all locked up. Yeah, I think Chicago is pretty good. I actually like St. Louis. I know that they're not, you know, they seem to be a little bit behind. But I think St. Louis can be sneaky good and start to crawl back in here. But, yeah, I think that Chicago is for real.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a long season that we're just crossed halfway, right? Like, a lot can obviously happen. I think baseball, I don't say this lightly because I think they were so dumb for so long, but I think baseball with the expanded wild cards, I think the pitch clock above everything, I think baseball has made such good rule changes over the last decade that have really, really helped the sport.
Well, it's made it more watchable, right? I mean, it's made it more watchable, and it's kept teams in contention longer. So you put those two things together, and you start to engage the fans longer and more broadly, right? Like, they're not completely scoffing at watching a game because they don't have to invest 3.5 hours, and, you know, they can root for their team a little bit longer. They don't have to worry about looking towards the winner earlier and earlier. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think baseball is trying to become relevant. And really, their only competition right now is the WNBA, so they should be able to get a lion's share of the viewers because of how popular baseball is across a wide range of demographics.
And then quickly, cap stuff. Farivari gets a big deal. They have lost some guys. They lost Lars Eller, right, among others. What do you think of the Caps offseason so far?
I think it's been good. I think they drafted a lot of guys with upside. Their most recent first-round pick, I think, could be a good depth player in Washington with the pro club. I do think they have a glut at winger. You'd like to see him be a little bit, you know, use his size a little bit more. I think the trades that they made were good. You know, they're certainly trying to keep the window open with Ovechkin on possibly his last year. So, yeah, I think Washington has done pretty well considering. I think next year is going to be the big year with so much money available and perhaps a really big hole in their lineup to fill if Ovechkin does hang it up. But, yeah, I think Washington's done really well. I like their draft a lot. I think they've made some smart moves in free agency. And, you know, they're just trying to figure out what life's going to be like once number 8 hangs them up.
Greenberg, thank you as always for the time. Have a great 4th of July weekend, man.
Enjoy yourself, man.
You too. Be safe. Don't blow off any fingers.
It's a good idea. Yep. Thank you, buddy.
I'll try not to.
All right. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
That's our boy Neil Greenberg. You can follow him.
Blow somebody else's fingers, not mine.
He's trying to blow up people's fingers. You can follow Neil at N Greenberg. When we come back, I imagine they're among the last teams to do this, if not the last team. The Commanders have announced their open dates for fans to come to training camp. We'll tell you when they are and how many there are. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.